the document already opened, or do I need to?
Boss, just to let you know, I'm gonna call Nathan down today. Metro was over here trying to get stuff moved out of the warehouse. I'm getting okay to move stuff, and I'm like,
alrighty, so we don't have a chairperson for this committee yet. So, Carlos, did you want to officially call the meeting to order?
And sure.
Okay.
Okay. So, good morning. Can you hear me? Just make sure that.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Fine.
Right, okay. Mike doesn't want to hear me, so okay, that's okay.
No, I can hear you.
Okay, just kidding. Okay, so just want to make sure we can hear each other. So it's really let's call to the meeting to order at essentially at 10:03. Okay, roll call. It'd be Mr. Harrier and
Mike Harrier.
Mike Harrier.
Here. And here. I'm here.
And Fred Isaac. Okay. So
at this point do we want to talk about selecting a chair, even though it's not on the agenda, but
Mike, do you want to be the chairperson?
I guess.
Okay.
I don't care.
I'll assist. I'll take notes as well. So we can figure it out as we go.
Yeah. I mean, it's only the two of us right now, so Mike is chair, and
I'll be the co-chair.
There you go.
Okay, so just a point of clarification. So it's nomination has been made. Mr. Dice has nominated Mr. Harrier for the chair's position. Mr. Harrier has accepted the nomination. So all of you say aye.
Aye.
So also there's been also a motion really to select Mr. Rodice as co-chair, as vice chair. So Mr. Rodice has accepted to that. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, so we're good. So moving on to the next item, which is item number four, some of the project director summary of current events. So the first one is cell 4B. Let me see if we can. Okay, can you see the screen?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Brittany. So cell 4B, okay, so just an update on the project. I don't know if you, so just to familiarize yourself, kind of where I got the pointer, this is where our main scale house and administrative buildings are at, our HHW facility, our recycling area. So that's on the north side of the landfill itself. So I'm just kind of want to orient you in terms of where we at. So cell 4B is this green area, okay? Those are the limits of the footprint of cell 4B. There's a little bit of blob to the left, top left, and that essentially we are proposing really to either build a water storage pond and or a water tank. Why is that applicable? Is because the slopes of the cell are going to encroach or are going to infringe into a pond that is basically where the cursor is at. That pond is quite a bit old on the way. It needs to be relocated. So either, and that's what we're exploring today, whether we build a pond, we'll build an additional pond to that corner, to the other green spot, or do we replace it with an above ground tank so that we don't have to worry about pigeons, we don't have to worry about litter in that pond. So that's still on the works as part of the design. And that's what I meant. But so overall right now, the project's about 70% design. Some of the main things that still need to be worked out is, as I mentioned earlier, the water storage. The other one would be is the leachate collection system. So we got the liner, and once the liner is filled, there's an irrigation layer that is also built on top of that. We put a protective cover, just make sure that liner doesn't get damaged, and then we essentially put garbage on top of it. As essentially as that garbage decomposes and it's infiltrates through the cell, water essentially percolates all the way down. That water, that leachate is then collected, needs to be pumped out above ground. So that way, either A, we can reinject it any area of the landfill as well, on top of the landfill. Okay, so that's what we have done in the past, and we're going to continue doing that. In other words, we continue to circulate the water that it's generated by the decomposition of the waste.
So in other words, you can just reuse that water for irrigation or whatever.
No, we don't use it because it's very high concentrate it's a very potent garbage juice. When we put it up on, and it's not that much, we probably generate, as I recall, Frank, I don't know, it was like around a truckload every 3 months. So it's not that much.
Okay. So you just use it to spray it out, keep the dust down on the current trash?
You could, but what we actually do is either A, we inject it into the current working phase where they're working when we pull the water out, or two, we just dig a little trench right adjacent to the working area, and we just discharge the water. So, and then obviously percolates down the road as well. Okay. So that's what we do with the leachate today. So, and the other thing is we need to determination whether we essentially, as part of the leachate collection system, whether we do the same thing as we did with cell 4B, or do we go out there and really come up with a much, I would say, robust leachate collection system. It's got a pump, it's got a level, it's got other stuff in there. So that's what we're trying to figure out. Which way do we go about it? A simple way, or something that we can probably tie both of the leachate collection systems in that area, and make those improvements that way. So that's what's still on the works.
What's the advantage of doing it the more sophisticated way?
The other one is one, you have a level, so it gives you a beacon up on top that tells you it has reached a particular level, and essentially it's time to pump it out. So that's the benefit. That's the only benefit, rather than to trial and error, through a big pipe, lower up a leachate pump, suck it out, and then just play by ear in terms of either I'm going to get a full tank, half a tank, quarter of a tank. That's the only benefit. It's really just there's more methods of the madness of us basically trying to get a full load rather than trying to get partial loads. That's the only benefit on that.
Is there a time factor as far as, say, for instance, is more efficient for you to get it at when it's at a peak level as opposed to just kind of doing a fishing expedition? How much time does it take to figure out if you have enough water in there or not?
That's the other thing we're trying to figure out, whether we want to be there for a couple hours or do we want to be there half a day? So it all depends on the pump size and the volume. So that's what we're trying to figure out. Is it worthwhile us really investing into the system? So that way, when we do it, it's really a matter of a couple of hours, plugging in there and then just pulling it out and getting out of the way. So that's the benefit. It's really essentially visual. We know when we can schedule it. And third, we don't have to stop and go. We know what we got. And we're trying to size the pump accordingly as well. Okay. The other thing that we're working on too as well is on the western side of the cell, there's an existing liner footprint or trash footprint. On the east side of that, we got some virgin ground. So what we're trying to do is trying to maximize essentially that slope or that volume of that cell. So that way, one, it gives us not only more volume for the cell, but also generates a little bit more dirt for us essentially to generate. And that's what we're trying to recalculate those slopes to make sure that we can increase the volume and we can quantify that in terms of how much dirt are we gonna have to remove. And we're going to try to see if it's worthwhile of doing that. We may not gain a whole lot of volume. We may not gain a whole lot of dirt. So that's being evaluated just to make sure that we maximize that space on that cell. So that's what I'm referring as to the cell limits. The other thing is that's being looked at is right now, trucks, essentially, when they pull out of the scales, they use a road, they go all the way around it, and then they come in and dump in this area. What we need to do now is, as soon as they pull out of the scales, we need to build a road and essentially cut along that slope so that we can get to the bottom of the cell. So we need to build that road with either garbage or a combination of cutting into the slope and using some of the dirt to make sure that we can build a road to access that cell. So that's being worked on. We also need to know how we're going to be getting dirt in and out of that cell. So there's stuff that we're in the process of looking at that, make sure that we can certainly have a good access to the cell. Okay. Then the next one is the drainage. So if you see that you essentially we're cornering ourselves. We no longer have the space that we can kick out the water. We're trying to water the lines within those slopes is going to have to be managed. So, and we're going to have to build some sort of a temporary retention basin to capture the water, the lines on those slopes. So we're trying to limit or minimize the amount of water that falls on the slopes to make sure that we can divert the water around the cell. And make sure that we can minimize the amount of water that goes into that cell as well. So that's what we're looking at that. There's going to be some channels. There's going to be some swales that will have to be built to make sure that we manage the stormwater around that cell throughout until we get up to the point of upgrade, which may be 2 to 3 years down the road before we're flush with the ground. So that's what we got to make sure that we plan for that and that we create some sort of a basin that water is going to get to that, to a corner, most likely this corner, and stormwater will have to be pumped out of that cell. So, and be put into this channel. So that way that water, so there's a channel over here, that water can essentially can be transported all the way to this retention basin. So that's what is being looked at.
Carlos, I have a question. So when we went out, you know, it was a couple of years ago, we went out and we toured the existing site, you know, before we started filling it. So this is the one that's to the west of that, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so that one, is that bigger than the one that we looked at?
It will be bigger, yes.
Okay. So what other expansion do we have in this area?
So in that area?
Well, I mean, like in this whole area, do we have more room for more cells, or are we very limited to that's it and we have to start another big hill?
Right. So within that area, we're done. Okay. So by doing cell 4B, we're pretty much are going to be done. And it's probably going to be hopefully 6 to 7 years to fill that entire cell all the way to the top. Okay. Then after that, then we got to start looking at, do we go west? And that's what's being, that was essentially included in the permit to include essentially these cells. Mm-hmm. Do we go back to the west? Do we go to the south? Or what I'm suggesting is we go to the east. And the reason for it is we already have a, and that's not on the plan. So what's on the outline in red, those are the cells that we already have permits, not only on our facility plan for the environmental quality, for the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, but also our plan area development. So one of the suggestions that I'm trying to make or pitch is let's go and expand the waste footprint to the east. We already have a basin on that side that we can probably line, and we can further essentially add more capacity to the landfill by landfilling those areas, okay? But if we do that, we have to amend our plan area development. We need to amend our permit, our facility plan. So those are some of the things that we're going to have to embark to and move in that direction.
Okay, thank you.
And here's just more of a macro detail of what the cell looks like. I mentioned about the basin, the Littlestown Water Basin, mentioned about essentially the access road that we need to build, how we need to tie into the east, to the existing limits. Instead of that line, the where my cursor is at, I want for that hinge point or that slope really to match the existing grade. So that way it gives us more dirt. It gives us more volume. Here's the pond. The pond, it's on the way. We need to replace that. We need to build this drainage channel moving out. So that way, when we build that cell, water can essentially can be discharged onto that channel. So that's essentially more of a detailed breakdown of what we're trying to do. Okay. Are we good?
Yeah. Yep.
So the next item on the agenda was the Los Reales Sustainability Campus. Okay, so here's a macro view, and I think you've seen this before, is when we first embarked on the notion of zero waste and really being deploying a lot of those initiatives really to achieve zero waste. So one of the exercises that we did is let's carve out the space around the landfill to make sure that not only we create buffers, we identify specific areas that could be used for either open space, could be used for additional landfill cells, could be used for the various waste processing facilities, such as expanding our composting facility, expanding essentially our food and green waste processing facility, really also taking a look at what do we do on managing our construction debris material as well. Start carving some space for some passive and active recreational areas, and also delineating some area for the nursery and delineating some space for future businesses, industries that would be waste aligned, with the zero waste concept, so they can co-locate at the Los Reales facility. So that's what we did. That's just a very macro view of what the possible land users are. So the high color, the main colors are green for open space, whether it's active or passive recreation areas. The cyan or the light blue color would be as areas where someone can come in, set up shop to build a waste processing facility, whether it's a mixed-use processing facility, a plastics facility, a waste-to-energy facility, even though we're not ready for that, but it's just really carving out that space. Also in the brown, kind of on the top right corner, that's an area that we have designated for the materials recovery facility, whether it's a regular, it's a mixed use, that still needs to be determined. The orange color shows essentially future landfill cells. And that's what I mentioned to the east, which is to the right, you'll see the big blob of orange. That's what I'm suggesting that we embark on amending our plan. What we got permitted is what you see, the big blob on orange on the south end of the landfill. That is essentially, that's already encompassed in our permit. And a little bit on the top left, orange area, also as landfill cells. We also dedicated some space for the gas recovery facility that we are trying to get moving, get going. And those are essentially the main, I would say, components of how essentially we think we're proposing to carve out that space. Obviously, that's still very subject to change. It's going to be very fluid, but that is really just a very general perspective on how we may use that land. The other thing is, as you heard me a lot, is really saying that the construction of a multi-use pathway around the facility, create the landfill buffer. So you'll see some of those roads, some of those recreation roads going through the facility. And again, it's really to use it as a passive or active recreation of area and a multi-use pathway all the way around it. And not only to walk, bike, but really to have horses, all this stuff, so that we can have essentially that as a recreation amenity for that area and for those neighbors. So that's the overall macro view of what the space could look like on the sustainability campus. Any questions so far?
What's the blue area on the west side?
This one?
Yes.
Those are just, that isn't a floodplain, and that is just, we're considering that as a natural riparian area, undisturbed area. So someone can certainly develop that area, but we would have to go through all FEMA floodplains and really for us to be able to build in that area. So we're just calling it for now is really just open, natural, open space riparian area.
It flows from the south to the northeast, northwest?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Southeast to northwest. Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Brittany, when this is over, can we get these slides, you know?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Then here's more of a map view of maybe what the possible facing may look like. So it's really what we envisioned of things being kind of in the first phase. And probably even though, and that's really what we are contemplating as phase one, but we know it's subject to change. Funding needs to be available. But at least that's the intent, is really how do we protect ourselves from the neighbors and how do we protect the neighbors from ourselves? And that's essentially what that plan looks like in terms of phase, the first phase. The other one would be is you look at the gas recovery facility, some trails improvements throughout the campus and really, again, using that area as open space, deploying a lot of trees to comply with the Million Trees campaign, as well as trying to do a lot of the stormwater capturing, pretty much in line to what the city's trying to do citywide at basically one of the city facilities. So So that way we can showcase what we're doing, what we're telling people to do. This will be the place that we can show those improvements.
What's directly south of the landfill?
What's directly south is it's still open space. I think probably our next closest neighbor is at least another mile away. It's Granite Construction. So those will be our neighbors. If you look at our neighbors right here, I believe what they do is freeze processing. Here is just a metal, a car dismantling area. Those are the known neighbors that I know so far. And all these folks here to the north, west are industrial lots. Either Republica has a continuum maintenance facility. There's most of those are just heavy commercial, light or heavy industrial areas or use in that area. Okay. Next slide is just this is you've seen this before, but hopefully this is what we submitted as part of our grant application, the Build Back Better application. So what that included is really the intersection improvements of Craycroft Road and Los Reales. It included building shovel-ready pads, 5 or 6 pads for either commercial or light industrial facilities. Their screen area is just some active designation areas for some active recreation areas. The light blue or the cyan, the light blue, it's where we are proposing to build that shovel-ready mixed processing facility and really create the first phase of the landscaping buffer all the way around the landfill, at least on the northern portion of that. So that's what was included in the application was shovel-ready site for the MRF, shovel-ready industrial pads, intersection improvements, and the first phase of the landscaping buffer, totaling about $11 million. And here's just more of a.
And did we get approved for that $11 million?
Not yet. We had our second round of interviews. That meeting was May 11th. I think we're gonna have another some sort of notification. They told us around September timeframe. So that's still pending.
Okay.
And here's just a rendering of what the possible multi-use pathway will look like with trees. You see to the right what it may look like. So it's just a proposed rendering. And here's just a more of a nicer look in terms of what those in commercial industrial paths may look like. You'll see pretty much in this area the mixed processing facility, intersection improvements of Craycroft and Los Reales. This road is being built by the developer who's building east of the landfill. So that work is in progress. They're running utilities through there, water and sewer through there. So we need to advise them of where we may want to tap so that we can get connected or just have stub outs for us in the future. So that's what's going on right now. So most likely, depending on timing or funding, they do some intersection improvements. We certainly want to coordinate with them when they do that. So that's still, it's work in progress from their end as well. And here's really a rendering of or a close look of what are some of those possible active recreation areas may look like. The idea is not only for the milling trees, but really create a much bigger buffer between us and the adjacent neighbors and really providing with amenities that would offset them putting up with us for an extended period of time.
So I have a question. I have a question about these amenities. I mean, it looks fantastic. I think it's a great idea, But my concern is, who's going to be responsible, us or the city of Tucson?
So the idea is that the city of Tucson will be responsible for those parks and
recreation. It'll be like a park or something?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. And one of the things it looked at was that when they started doing an analysis of park space in specific neighborhoods, they came up or they know that essentially the Ward 5 area is very underserved regarding parks, trees, and open space. And there is some a lot of it, there is some money that has been generated from impact fees associated with some of those developments around the landfill that they can use some of the capital money so that they can invest in those areas. So there is some interest really to build those amenities, not all at once, but yeah, some amenities down the road.
Right. I just want to make sure we're not going to be on the hook for it. That's all.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so, but we never know. But no, we're not. The intent is all we're trying to do is really delineate the land, have them use that, really create that active area. And just benefit for us would be is that there's a use, there's a buffer, and we can do a lot of stuff on our side and not be very impactful to the neighborhood.
Okay, thank you.
And that's the concept that we're running with the nursery, and that will be at the northwest corner of Los Reales and Craycroft. Initially, we were thinking that nursery would be open to the public. We're pulling that back in. It all that will be just for internal use. We got over 700 acres that we need to plant the trees. So most likely that's just going to be for internal purposes. We are still going to move forward with some sort of a education center, really for the public, really to learn more about not only trees, the landfill, sustainability, solar, all this stuff. So we're still going to build that facility out there. But that's way down the road. And that's it. Regarding the sustainability campus. So I don't know if there's any questions, comments, anything.
No, it looks good. I appreciate it.
What's the purpose of the nursery?
Purpose of the nursery is really to grow trees for the Million Trees campaign. That's one. Two, it's really for us. The city has a lot of, I would say, needs to plant trees within the right-of-way, parks and recreation, and also around the landfill. So the idea is if we partner with Tucson Clean and Beautiful, can they go ahead and do the seedlings at their facility and then transfer the seedlings really are to the nursery so that way we can grow them and that way we can use them and deploy them as years go by for city use only.
Okay.
Okay.
What kind of trees are we talking about?
Mulberry trees. No, just kidding. No, it's probably looking at native desert trees. Most likely will be either ironwoods, Palo Verdes, all the different types of mesquites. Those are the trees. Some ashes, but that's kind of the plan. So we're going to heavily rely on Tucson Clean and Beautiful, and obviously the urban forestry manager to guide us on that. And all we're going to do is really just kind of help them out with that. But we're not going to be the tree growers for the city. We're just, again, we're just providing them the space.
Okay.
Thank you. And Frank is here. Frank Bonillas is here. He can cover the other subjects on the meeting. I'll pass it on to him if there's no questions on these two items.
No, thank you, Carlos.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks, Carlos.
So I'll stop sharing the screen. Yes. Good?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Do you need the keyboard?
No, no. I'm just going to get everything that's what I find to share.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
This is
Recording in progress.
Okay. I'm gonna get it.
Frank, if you want, you can always email your presentation to me and I can share it on my end.
I don't actually have, I don't have a presentation.
Oh, okay.
I was just, if I needed to bring up a map or something, should I just... Let me just get off of that. Okay. So the next topic is Silvercroft wash release Slack update.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Yes, this can you hear me? The Silvercroft?
Silvercroft?
Oh, Silvercroft, okay.
Silvercroft wash release site update. That'd be number 5 on the agenda, I believe. The Silvercroft wash release was the Kinder Morgan pipeline release of fuel. And this was a few years back. And the main contaminants right now in the groundwater is MTB and TBA, where TBA is a byproduct of MTB as it decomposes. So this project is under 80 Qs purview, under the voluntary remediation program. Currently, what Kinder Morgan, with the assistance of Arcadis, is doing is they went ahead and installed an air sparge system. And it really, if you think about it, it's like a curtain or a block to keep the MTB from moving further into the plume that the Silver Bell landfill created. We want to ensure that the Silvercroft MTB contaminants don't commingle with the contaminants that we have at the Silver Bell. And I'll talk about Silver Bell landfill in a bit. And the reason for that is because the system that we set up for Silver Bell landfill was not designed to treat any of the contaminants that the Kinder Morgan plume created. So this was the latest, I believe they finished in January setting up that air sparge system. So they're essentially, what they're doing is they're just injecting air into the groundwater to help and assist the breakdown of the MTBE. That system was, as I mentioned, completed around January, February. We don't yet have any results back from that. Kinder Morgan through Arcadis, they share that their information with us quarterly. So we should more than likely be seeing something in the next quarter when they have enough data and enough groundwater data to be able to kind of make some assumptions or some determinations as to the effectiveness of the AirSpar system. We are having a meeting every, at least once a year or every 6 months. It just depends on ADEQ and how the progress is on both sides. We have a joint meeting where Kinder Morgan representatives, City of Tucson, and all of our consultants at ADEQ meet and update ADEQ. And then usually at that point, if there are any directions that ADEQ have to give us, they make us know of that information. So at the hopefully at the next meeting that we have, we might have information that we can share for the effectiveness of that SPAR system. Any questions on Silvercroft?
Nope.
Weren't they having some problems before with some sort of something breaking down all the time, or some electrical problem where it wasn't working properly from the very beginning?
Right, so that is before the Silver Bell landfill, and I'll start covering that, and I can share information of where we're at right now.
Okay.
Okay. So jumping again forward to Silver Bell landfill. The Silver Bell landfill, just to give a little bit of background, we've had groundwater release contaminants, mostly PCE, TCE, and then some other vinyl chloride and some other contaminants that were released from the bottom of the landfill into the groundwater. Most of the contamination is in the shallow aquifer and the intermediate aquifer. We haven't detected anything in the deep aquifer, which is good for us. So from that, the City of Tucson, from the direction of ADEQ, developed a groundwater pump and treat system. It's based on activated carbon so that we can absorb the contaminants at the site. So we have three extraction wells at the site. And so we're running around 1,000 gallons per minute of extraction of groundwater and putting it through our treatment system. Geosyntec is our consultant, and they're the ones that did the construction of the facility. And right now they're on the third year of operating and maintaining the system. So as Fred mentioned, we did, when we started for the first full year, we had different issues. Mostly it was with the groundwater pumps. We actually, all three groundwater pumps failed at some point or other. But now they've been fully, and they were all covered under warranty. So they've been replaced, and all the electrical issues have been taken care of. We've been running for roughly around 6 months with no issues. So far, we've treated around 873 million gallons since we started. And we've removed around 574 pounds of the contaminants that are within that plume.
Five hundred and seventy-four pounds
of contaminants. I want to say that roughly every month we pull samples from the extraction wells, and we also pull samples from the effluent. So the effluent, the clean water, treated water, is being fed into the Sweetwater Reclaim Facility for Tucson Water.
So this 574 pounds of contaminants that have been removed, is that good or is that bad? Or, you know, how does that, is that a good number or is that a bad number?
It's a good number. It's more than zero.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good number because we're getting that stuff out of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is it, you know, how much is there to begin with? I mean, is 574 pounds a significant amount of contamination being removed? Or is that just a small amount of all that's been contaminated?
Right. I don't believe we have any reference of how much actually was released or how much was actually put into the landfill that ended up releasing.
So on that, it's really just a function of, as Frank pointed out, we don't know how much waste containing that material was essentially dumped on that site. And it's also really a function of how much groundwater goes through that area as well. Okay.
Right.
So the idea is really to ensure that we capture the whatever water is leaving on that area, we pull that up. We don't want for water really to go down further downstream and contaminate even more. It's right. Let's pull it out, clean it, and then we recirculated that and put it into the street water facility, where it really becomes to be part of our reclaim facility and part of all the other efforts they got on the wetlands and things like that. So I think to answer your question, is that good? Is that bad? Well, it's bad because we're having to pull 574 pounds that they should have been there to begin with. Okay. But in terms of really the magnitude of what that is, I don't think we can make that determination because we don't know how much was put in place and we don't know how much water is going to travel to that area. All we know is at the end of the day is we've got to make sure that those pumps continue to be effective and efficient on the removal of those contaminants. We're doing that. And we can continue to use the water for other purposes, the clean water for other purposes. And we probably may continue doing that for many, many years. Or we don't know. Until we're fully diluted and or fully out of there.
Okay.
Or never.
So we do continue to monitor the groundwater in the entire area. And we also monitor the size of the plume. So over time, we're going to see if the plume starts shrinking towards the groundwater wells, and then that's definitely going to be positive. And hopefully, over time, as Carlos mentioned, more than likely over 20 years, we'll see the contaminants reducing. And we'll see the trend where the amount of contaminants being extracted and removed from the water is going to start. It's going to start declining.
Right. Okay.
But that point. So a positive note of this is that 873 million gallons of contaminated water is now cleaned and is being used into the reclaim system. So
how much?
Positive like that.
How much is
873 million gallons?
Correct. And that's in a matter of about a couple of years. We started in April of 2019.
Yeah, because the last time we were out there when they were first bringing it online was what, in 18, Carlos?
I think so, yeah.
That's that one over in by the park, right?
By the park, huh? By the
golf
club. Yeah. Yep.
That's a lot of water.
Mm-hmm. So one additional positive item there is that we now have a solar being installed at the facility there on Sweetwater to run all the operations off of solar. It's not connected yet, but it'll be connected within the next couple of months at the latest.
Well, do you know what kind of savings that's going to save the city? Or us, rather?
So I have to look at that site, so we can check on that. We can get you that information. I don't want to guess.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I just, it's going to be, you know me with numbers. I like to know dollars, what we're saving.
Yep.
We'll look at how much power we were pulling from the beginning, maybe even an annual basis. And that will give us a good idea of the savings.
Perfect.
Well, the last item is the Los Reales Landfill Gas to Energy Project update. So we did hire GHD to prepare a gas utilization study, and that was completed back
December of 21.
Okay. So what came out of that is the recommendation was that we would refine the gas and then inject it into one of the pipelines, the CNG pipelines, and at that point the refined gas would be renewable natural gas, RNG, and it would be used in the transportation industry. So that would essentially generate revenue for the city of Tucson, and we could use the RNG also to fuel our fleet. So it could be recycling, trash collection, and the bus service. Where are we at this point? We're in the process of, we put together an RFP so that we can publish it and then get proposals from interested companies out there that want to develop the system.
So to add a little bit to that is that's what we did within the department, drafted that request for proposals packet. It was forwarded to the city's procurement department. City's procurement essentially said it's somewhat very general. It needs to be more specific, and it needed really to comply with some state regulations for procurement regulations regarding projects. So what they're going to do is they're obviously going to use the information that we put together, a technical perspective and all the things we put together, and they're going to create a two-step selection process. So one would be is based on qualifications, they're going to shortlist the firms, and then from there, they're going to move forward with a request for proposals, which would be the technical, which would include the technical proposal and the pricing. So most likely it's probably going to be, we were hoping to get it out this summer, but most likely it's probably going to be out late summer. So that is going to add a little bit of delay. But essentially that was the guidance from them, also their attorney, and there was some appearance from the city manager's office to move forward in that regard. So we were not, we were not hoping to go on that route, but we have to follow the rules and have to follow the process. And so we need to do that. So,
thank you, Frank. Thank you, Carlos.
Any other questions? So then the next item is call to the audience.
I don't think we have anybody here.
Any future agenda items?
I have a couple questions. Fred, have you been out to the landfill yet?
Not for a long time.
Okay, so maybe that, I know ESAC was talking about it. Maybe that's something we need to look into, is maybe doing another trip out there.
Well, the problem with the two of us is that we can't go together because it's a quorum.
No. We don't make any decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going out to look.
Well,
an informational thing, because ESAC has gone out to the whole landfill. The whole ESAC committee has been out to landfill, and we're allowed to do that because we're not making any motions. We're not discussing business. We're just looking at the facility.
Okay. Well, it's fine with me. I would love to go back out there.
So if I may maybe suggest, maybe if this is maybe where you were going is, one thing is really for us to talk about it pretty much through Zoom, but another thing is can we schedule maybe some tours or side visits of some of the actual projects? So one of the things we can do is probably post it in such a way that we'll probably meet at Los Reales and post it that way so that the subcommittee can meet, can have discussions, so we can probably do that. And maybe during the same day, we also can maybe post either 30 minutes later or an hour later at another project location. Okay, so the other one would be is possibly either the pumping treat system, or it could be the Congress near my landfill. So at least be able to take a look at two of those physical sites. And then as time goes by, then we can certainly start looking at some of the other sites. If that's something that you may be interested in doing, then that's what we can certainly pursue if you want to do some of those on-site visits.
Because I know the full ESAC was asking about that as well. They were, talking because we've got a lot of new members on it. And
I think the last time we did it, what Brittany did, she posted it like that they were going to meet.
Right.
And it's really a notification for that. So yeah, we can certainly go through that, whether we do it.
Because what I'm thinking is if we're going to do it for full ESAC, we don't have to do it individually for this group as well. You know, we would just go along. It's just food for thought.
Yeah, I agree. It would be helpful for me too, because it's been, like I said, a long time since I've been there, and I don't recall exactly. I think the last time I was at the landfill was a couple of years ago with Christina, and I was actually working for the newspaper at the time. So, and the other time before that was when we did the opening for the mulch section.
Right.
So I'd be happy to go see and see for myself what the whole thing looks like, and maybe other facilities as well. But I've never been to the MRF.
Okay, so maybe let's figure something out internally. Maybe where you guys can help us is maybe as part of your report to full ESAC. You may suggest that because not only yourselves, but maybe there's a lot of new members, that why don't we basically schedule some time to tour those facilities, and then that way we can post it accordingly, and that way we can just get the ball rolling on that end.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Good for me.
Okay.
Maybe we do it it's when it's not so hot.
Sure.
Oh, come on, it's only going to be 111 today.
Well, I was thinking more like 105. But...
So is that the only future agenda item?
Yeah, so it's really not an agenda item. It's just I don't have any. I mean, I appreciate you guys. If we can just get these the slides that you guys presented, so I can put in my notes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, next item number 10 is adjournment. So if you guys want to make a motion to do that.
I make a motion. Then we adjourn.
Okay. Meeting adjourned at 11:01.
Okay.
Okay.
Carlos, who does the, is Lucy taking the minutes, or who's taking the minutes?
Lucy's taking the minutes, huh?
Okay, so when you get done with them, if you want to forward them to me, and that way I'll have them, and when I get ready to do my report for the full ESAC, I'll combine it all.
That'll work.
All right, I appreciate it.
Sure,
okay. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.